Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Good morning and welcome to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, today, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those who he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from lands from east and west, from north and south. Folks, this morning, can you say that, yes, the Lord is good and his love endures forever? Well, today on the show, we are going to have Sunday back with his reflection on Sunday. We're going to be listening to the whole of this Psalm, Psalm 107. We are going to go and extracts taken from the Women's World Day of Prayer, which took place last week. And so we will have scripture readings, we will have prayers from that occasion, which we will share here this morning. Also, on our 260-day journey, we are approaching the end now of Luke's Gospel already. We're nearly right through three Gospels. And today we will be listening to Luke and chapter 20. And then to finish off, we are going to look at the lectionary passage of scripture found in John and chapter 3, verses 14 through to 21, and delve into that. So much to look forward to. But to get the ball rolling, let us begin by listening to the whole of Psalm 107, read to us by Charlize.
We're reading from Psalms 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction, and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Now is time for our Sunday reflection with Sunday. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Thoughts on the Gospel of John. This must have been a real shock to Judas. The Lord knows exactly what he is going to do, but Judas doesn't take this last opportunity to return from his fatal pathway. After Jesus has revealed his betrayer using a piece of bread, Satan takes complete possession of Judas. In the downward course of Judas, we can distinguish three stages. First, there was his greed, which he did not restrain and which made him become a thief. Then Satan aroused in him the thought of obtaining compensation for missing out on the 300 denarii for which Mary's ointment could have been sold. So he negotiated 30 pieces of silver with the chief priest for betraying his Lord. At last, Satan enters him. Thus, the chief of the demons gains personal control over Judas, who becomes the helpless tool of his plan. For Judas, there is now no turning back. Therefore, the Lord says to him, "What you do, do quickly." This doesn't mean, as the others thought, that Judas should buy something for the Passover, but that he is to sell his Lord and Master into the hands of his enemies. Nor is Judas to give something to the poor, but the Son of God, who was rich, is here to become poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. At the cross of Christ, the worst sin of a human being and the infinite love of God meet together. May the good Lord bless his words. Amen.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, coming up next, we are going to delve into the recordings from the Women's World Day of Prayer and join in those prayers. But first, let me read to you the words of this hymn. "Son of my soul, thou Saviour dear, it is not night if thou be near. O may no earth-born cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes. When the soft dews of kindly sleep my wearied eyelids gently steep, be my last thought how sweet to rest forever on my Saviour's breast. Abide with me from morn till eve, for without thee I cannot live. Abide with me when night is nigh, for without thee I dare not die. If some poor wandering child of thine have spurned today the voice divine, now, Lord, the gracious work begin. Let him no more lie down in sin. Watch by the sick, enrich the poor with blessings from thy boundless store. Be every mourner's sleep tonight, like infant slumbers, pure and light. Come near and bless us when we wake, ere through the world our way we take, till in the ocean of thy love we lose ourselves in heaven. Now we shall hand over to Vicky and the ladies at the World Day of Prayer.
We gather in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God be with you. Let us pray. Holy Trinity, walk with us as we journey through the land where Jesus lived and taught. Open our eyes to see the present suffering of the people of this land. Grant us the strength and courage to act and pray with all who suffer around the world. Let us continue in prayer with the words of Psalm 85.
We're reading from Psalms 85. You, Lord, showed favour to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Saviour, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry at us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from the heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
The scripture theme this year comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift.
In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus was talking to his beloved disciples in the hours before his crucifixion. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. At a crucial moment of his life, Jesus gave the disciples this commandment: love one another. Bear with one another in love.
A short meditation, and I'm just going to have some help from the members of the GFS, the Girls Friendly Society. In our world at present, as Christians, we are requested to do three things. First is to pray sincerely every day for as long as we can to Almighty God our Father for his guidance, strength, endurance, and protection over our families, relatives, friends, communities, governments, and Christians worldwide, as well as over all those who suffer oppression and persecution. And even more, to thank and praise God for his unconditional love, mercy, healing, peace, blessings, and protection on us, and for his wisdom. In the knowledge, we are all praying together, building our prayer community. Secondly, we each need to delve into studying our Bibles, his holy word, as this is the best way to know God, loving God more and more, growing in grace and knowledge, building our personal relationship with him. Thirdly, we each need to shine Christ's light to all we meet in humble service by helping and showing compassion to others, caring for, encouraging, and supporting others, living righteously, speaking the truth, sharing the hope we have, and building Christ's church for God's glory. Amen.
The words from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 call us to give so that all may experience abundance in life. The point is this: whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as each has decided, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. May we open our hearts and give generously. We'll all join together in singing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, now we go and turn our attention to Luke and chapter 20, the chapter that we are on our 260-day journey through the New Testament. Can you believe it? We nearly have read our way through three Gospels already. And then following that, we go and return to the Women's World Day of Prayer, where we continue to focus on the prayers that were used at that service. Here we go. Luke and chapter 20.
Luke 20. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things. Who gave you this authority?" He replied, "I will ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us, because they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered, "We don't know where it was from." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." He went to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated him shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. The teachers of the law and the chief priests look for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right and that you show no partiality but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. Then Jesus said to them, "Why is it said that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself declares in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' David calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely."
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we now pray for women everywhere, for the world, and for those in need. Let us pray.
God of righteousness, bless us and make us witnesses of peace and justice. Open our eyes so that we can see things as you do. Protect us from all forms of violence, hurt and revenge. We pray especially for women who are denied education and other basic rights. We pray for women who are abused and suffer violence. We pray that our churches, as well as our governments, will create safe places for women. Help us to raise our voices and use our gifts and talents to help others. Lead us into a life worthy of our calling.
Hear our prayer. Refugee God, who as a child had to flee from a massacre in Bethlehem, you know the plight of refugees and the displaced. Remain with us and help us in these dark and difficult times. Guide and protect refugees and displaced people. Bring them to places of safety. Open the hearts of those receiving refugees and guide the actions of political leaders so that all needs will be met. Lead us into a life worthy of our calling.
Healer and sustaining spirit,
We pray for all those who are sick, who are dying and who are grieving. We pray for scientists and doctors who develop vaccines and treatments for the COVID-19 virus and other diseases. When we are lost and weary, strengthen us. Revive our dry branches so that they yield good fruits again. Give us new life and the hope of the resurrection. Lead us into a life worthy of our calling.
Hear our prayer.
God of mercy, we have carelessly destroyed your beautiful creation. We have harmed the environment, the flora and fauna, and the creatures of the air, land, and water. Our destruction of the earth has caused a climate crisis. Help us to appreciate and love your creation. Help us to repair what we have destroyed. Lead us into a life worthy of our calling.
God of unity, your child Jesus prayed that your disciples and followers would be one as you are one. Teach us, your servants, to treat others justly, fairly, and with love, even though we may speak, live, and pray differently. Bless the global church and bless the faithful women everywhere who share your good news with others. Lead us into a life worthy of our calling.
We will now join together to say the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll close our service with the traditional hymn that closes every woman's World Day of Prayer. The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands.
You know, Jesus did keep repeating to Nicodemus the phrase, you must be born again, in those opening verses. And poor Nicodemus didn't understand that at all. But one of the things that is really striking about this, and this is where I would like to go and delve into in regard to it, is that Jesus goes and tells him a story. And this is what he goes, he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And effectively, what is actually taking place here is that Jesus has actually informed Nicodemus who he is by going and stating that he is actually the Son of Man. Nicodemus knew exactly what that reference meant. That reference meant that Jesus was actually stating that he was the Messiah. That reference meant that Jesus was actually stating that he was God. That reference meant that the Old Testament prophecies were actually going to come true. But here's a wondrous thing about this. Nicodemus was actually going to go and have a front seat view of this passion that we speak about taking place in real time. And that to me is extraordinary. Imagine being a Pharisee. Imagine being part of the Jewish ruling council. Imagine being the one who is observing everything that is taking place and knowing that as he sees these things happen in real time, as he sees the Son of Man being lifted up and placed on a pole on the cross, just as the serpent was in Moses' day, that he was seeing the Messiah fulfilling God's plan from Scripture on how it is to have eternal life. You see, in that story, what the people were told that had been bitten by the poisonous snake is if they just looked to the bronze snake that Moses put up on the pole, they would live. Look and live. And what Jesus is saying here is this: if we look upon him, the one who was bruised for our iniquities, the one who was crushed for us, then it is in him that we have life. But we need to look to him. And you see, that's why it then goes into John 3 and verse 16. That verse that we all know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so today, you can know the joy of having eternal life through Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross. And as I said, he was revealing this in real time to Nicodemus. So as the whole story unfolded before Nicodemus, he was seeing this old scripture being fulfilled again. And you see, that leads us into John 3 and verse 17. Why was it that God went and had the snake made in the first place? Because he's a loving God, a gracious God, a forgiving God. He could have let all the people die in the wilderness, but he didn't. John 3:17 goes and says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You see, you don't need to come and condemn a dying man because he's already condemned to die. Romans 6 and verse 23 goes and says that the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die. We are all already dying in our sin. And that is what Jesus is pointing out here. He didn't have to come in condemnation. There was no reason for him to come in condemnation. Because the law of God already brings condemnation. When we come under God's law, there alone, we end up discovering ourselves being without hope. But there is hope, and that hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why God, because he loves us so much, sent Jesus into this world to die for us. Not to condemn us. There was no reason for that. As I said, we already were condemned. But to save us. But it doesn't stop there. Oh no. John 3 and verse 18 goes and says this. That whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, when you look at that Old Testament story, the person had already been bitten by the snake. The person was already dying from the poison in their bones. As that poison progressed through their body, then they were slowly dying a painful and slow death. And so you and I, we have been born into this world. And do you know what? Because of sin, we're dying a slow and painful death. But today there is life. And that is why we can go and say from the very beginning of this program in Psalm 107 that we can give thanks to the Lord. Because he is good and his love endures forever. Do you know what's so beautiful? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 goes and says this, that we put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all people, especially to those who believe. Let me ask you a question. Let me leave you with this question today. Do you really know Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Folks, that's it for today. I hope you've been blessed by listening and joining in with me today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace and turn his face toward you, and give you peace. Amen.
Heartlands on Midlands 103. Midlands.